مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We welcome you to this program. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. The date today is the 26th of Safar 1447. This day of Thursday. And you know Thursdays we have Mufti Farhan Karani. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته مفتي صاحب.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Hope everybody is well, Molina is well.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. All well, the side house, everything by Mufti Saab.
الحمد لله. شكرا الحمد لله.
What's the latest fitna out there? I've been receiving so many posters and people imports coming in from so many places in the world. It's a sort of a systematic approach to detach us from the true teachings of Islam, and by going to all these programs, the public are at harm. But it's just they haven't gotten tired, and they're using the modernists in different places where they can use their hubs and their halls and their centers to get to entertain these people. But it's just been like, you just try to address one, there's 20 others coming in. And this is the plan. When Adaya Rahmatullah Ali had warned us, he said, the modernists, they are keyed by the Zionists and the Americans, and that they may not know it, but it is their plan is to separate us from the true ulama and the true teachings of deen. Once they accomplish this, then Mulana Daya said himself, we become Nasya Mansiya, totally forgotten.
Yeah. So, like, Bismillah ar-Rahim, like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith that before Qiyamah, the fitan will come like a necklace gets cut and all the beads are just falling. We can't even keep up with all these fitnas that are swarming us. And so, this weekend, already it started this week, I think, there's three brothers from, I don't know, UK or somewhere. They're giving some inspirational or motivational talks and things in somewhere in Joburg. They don't mention where it's given because they're not giving Dawa Ida Mafia. So, and then in our local masjid also, they don't understand, they're hosting them. They're hosting them also in our masjid. But it's free to go there. But what you're going to go listen from a fasiq? A person who doesn't even have a kurta, he doesn't even have a topi on, the, most probably Salafis or what, I don't know what they are, and they're going to come and tell us about Islam. First of all, they don't have Islam on them, but they want to come and tell us about Islam. Then you've got the Jamiat also, they had something yesterday. They also joined the bandwagon. Charging fees for speaking. You know, one another, it's so you know, got no words for these things. Our ulama in our country, they never ever used to charge for giving a bayan. Never ever charge for giving a bayan. Now our jamiat nowadays they're charging for 1 hour session, pay 300 then. And you know, we're giving you a free meal and we're giving you a toy at the end of the day, give you something. And so, I mean, deen is now sold. And now you're selling the deen. Your experiences in life, you want to sell them for some thamanan qalila. Yeah. Then you get these other, you get, we know the ones from UK and America, and they come and sell themselves your sell tickets, and you must go and listen to them. What they speak is not Quran and Sunnah. And they're telling you about theories, and they're telling you about life sciences, and they're not telling you what is Quran and Hadith. Now, our ulama, when our ulama tell you that the unadulterated truth, the haq, in its pure form, then we're not prepared to listen. And so, I think this week, inshallah, there's some program taking place in Azhar Madrasa from Friday to Sunday, I think. And then there's a youth program also on Saturday. So we should attend those kind of programs where ulama-i-haq are giving nasiha for free of charge. And you go there, you eat free of charge also. And you eat your breakfast, lunch and supper free. Your lodging is free. Everything is free there. You just have to go and sit and take the nasiha, which is offered to you free of charge by the ulama. And, but we won't go to those things. Where they're charging us to listen to something, there we want to flock. But where it's free, we don't want to go. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that most of the people in the world, and أكثر الناس لا يشكرون أكثر الناس لا يعقلون أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Allah Ta'ala says over and over in the Quran, most of the people, they know, they're not grateful. Most of the people, they don't understand. Most of the people, they don't know. And Allah Ta'ala even says, so we normally say no, but everybody's going there. Everybody's going there. And what Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And if you obey, and if you follow most of the people in the earth, most of the people, and we always want to go to with most, but everybody does it, so why can't we do it? But everybody's going, so if we don't go, it's going to be something wrong. And what Allah Ta'ala says, if you follow most of the people, then you will look up. They, the most, and the more, those people will deviate you, they'll take you away from ansabilillah, from the path of Allah Ta'ala. And so Allah Ta'ala is telling us, so you don't have to go with the flow, everybody's going. Also, if I don't go, then how it will look? But everybody does this. Yes, so what's wrong? In the weekend, somebody told me, you don't eat prawns. But all the ulama eat prawns. And most of the ulama eat prawns. If most of the ulama and all the ulama do it, it doesn't make it halal. And it is makruh tahrimi, it's haram. And makruh tahrimi is just a word coined by the fuqaha to say it is haram. But there's no nafiqati for it, but it's makruh tahrimi. That's why it's called makruh tahrimi. It's not mentioned clearly in the Quran there that prawns are haram. But the fuqaha have studied the Quran and hadith and they've deduced that this is not a fish, so you can't eat it. And so, no, most of the ulama, if you go with some of the ulama, they'll say, you don't eat prawns. What kind is this? No, you don't eat prawns. You can eat prawns. It's not haram. And now they want to come and tell us and teach us that, no, the prawns is halal. So if you follow most of the people, you're going to go astray. And you will look, they will deviate you. They will take you away from the straight path. In the path of Allah Ta'ala, in the path of the Sunnah. And so, then Allah Ta'ala goes on further to say, يَتَّبِعُونَ. Now, what do they follow? And exactly what, if you go to these programs, then you will hear what they speak. They're not speaking about Quran and Hadith. يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا ظَنَّ. Allah Ta'ala says that they follow just their assumptions. And if you follow some of these speakers, motivational speakers, and we don't call them ulama, they'll speak about their past experiences and what they experienced in this country and that country on their travels and tours and all that. That's what they experience, and now they come give their experiences. And then they give fatwas when they're not even muftis, and they come and give their own distorted meanings and translations and interpretations of the Quran and Hadith. So Allah Ta'ala says, يَتَبِعُونَ إِلَّا ظَنَّ. They're following the assumptions, what they think is right. But they don't have proof of it. Even if they have proof, they don't follow that proof and they don't adhere to the haqq. And وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخُصُونَ. They are falsifying. They falsify everything. So they're falsifying the deen of Islam to suit themselves, to make something permissible which is impermissible. And so there is one ayah. Another ayah Allah Ta'ala says, now regarding the Bani Israel, a classical example of this kind of thing. That Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا. This ayat is in Surah Baqarah, ayat number 243. That, did you not see those people who emerged from their homes? وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ. They were thousands. And حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. They were running away from death, right? Because there was a plague, so they were running away. They didn't want to die. They were scared to die. That's why they were running away from the plague. This is when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there's a plague in a place where there's a plague, and don't go, don't leave the place. And there's a place somewhere, don't go inside that place also. And so, this hadith was even used by the ulama too in the times of COVID to justify quarantine. and that you must quarantine. No, you mustn't leave anyway, and you mustn't go anyway. Stay in your room. There, nobody must come in the room where you are, and you mustn't leave the room. You're going to contaminate the people, because Nabi Fasim said, you see this hadith here. It starts with this time here, and this is the ruling, and they had a whole panel discussion and everything. No, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to quarantine. And they came with their own fatwa. And so Allah says that there were thousands. They were running away from death. And so there's a different story that we don't believe in quarantine, because we don't believe it, that sickness is contagious. So Allah said, no, you want to run away. You think you're going to run away from this plague, this adab of Allah Ta'ala, so you will be saved. So Allah Ta'ala told them, mutu, all of you die. And they all died. All those who ran away, they all died. Thumma ahyaum, Allah Ta'ala says, then we made them alive. We made them alive. We gave them life again. Why Allah Ta'ala gave them life again? So that they can make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. They can turn to Allah Ta'ala. That they did wrong. They were not supposed to leave. They left. So Allah Ta'ala says, okay, give them another chance. They will die. They wake up again. And they can make tawbah. And Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allah, Allah Ta'ala is not making zulm on him. Inna Allah la zu fadlin 'ala an-nas." And Allah Ta'ala is bountiful upon the people. Walakinna akthara an-nas, coming back to the point that most of the people, Allah Ta'ala says, don't follow most of the people. They'll lead you astray. Most of the people, they don't make shukr. And even after giving them life again, they were still ungrateful. And like the another ayat in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that lo and behold, unquestionably, verily, for Allah belongs everything. Everything was in the heavens and the earth. And أَلَا إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ, again, that undoubtedly, indeed, the promise of Allah is true. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, again, and most of them, and most of them do not understand. They do not know. They do not know. So, so most of the people will do something, and then we think, oh, but everybody is doing it. Say, oh, but the ulama, that monana does it. Yeah, but doesn't mean that that monana does it now, so or because we're miserable now. There is not a cue you take that no, or so that monana does it, or those people do it, or everybody does it. So why can't we do it? And so if everybody, most of the people are going to go to Jahannam, so you want to follow all of them, most of them to go to Jahannam. So we have to get our ducks in a row. We have to get our aqeedah correct. We have to know what is right and what is wrong. The people of the haqq are very few. What Nabi said in the hadith, to the fact that there are 73 groups in the ummah. 73 groups. Only one will go to Jannah. Yes, sir. 73 groups, only one group will go to Jannah. So the minority are those who you should follow, not the majority. And we look at the kufar system, the system of voting, and they vote and see who has the most votes, and that party will rule. And so it doesn't mean that most of the people vote for somebody, so that person is the perfect candidate. And the one who is not voted for at all, he may be the perfect candidate. And we see everywhere in the world that people who vote for the most, they're sitting with the most problems, and they're crying after that day, but now see corruption and death and that. But why you want to go with the kuffar system? I mean, look at the Sharia, it's so simple. In the time of appointing the first Khalifa, the Sahaba, few Sahaba, what they got together, they made Mashwara. There was a few Sahaba, there was 6-7 Sahaba, they got together and they had Mashwara. They had Mashwara, and they said, now who must be elected as a Khalifa? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is gone, now who must be elected as a Khalifa? And so they chose Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They chose Abu Bakr alone, and they elected him as the Khalifa. And so it wasn't an election. It's not an election right now. We're having elections. I'm putting the ballots up here. Who wants to run for Khilafat here? It never ever would you see in the Ummah where there was an election campaign. And in a Khair al-Qurun, and after the Khair al-Qurun, there was I never come across anything like it where there was an election and that the Khalifa was elected. Everybody must go and vote now who must be your next Khalifa. And this, he will tell you that we are going to do this year and this year for you, and we are going to prevent this from you and save you from this, and we're going to have this budget for military and this. And nothing like that. How did they appoint the Khalifas in the beginning? The Khulafa'i Rashidin, how were they appointed? And they were appointed by a system of piety. And so, okay, Abu Bakr radiallahu was the closest to Nabi Sassan. And so he is the first Khalifa. Then when Abu Bakr passed away, he said, no, Umar radiallahu was being the next Khalifa. When Umar radiallahu was told he's going to be the Khalifa, he said, no, I don't want to be the Khalifa. And so, and nowadays, a person runs for election. And he stands up, I want to be the president. Vote for me to be the president. I will do this and do this for you. But they don't fulfill anything. So it is a law in fiqh also that if anybody runs for a position, you mustn't give him the position. And if a mufti runs for a campaign for himself to become the qadi, the judge, then he mustn't get that position. He mustn't get that post. And the people must appoint you. The people must appoint you. They must see, oh, this person here, he has the most taqwa. This person here, he is the most well-versed in Quran and Hadith and fiqh. And so let us appoint him. And who can appoint? Say, it doesn't, like, it won't make sense if plumbers get together and say, now, let us see who's the best doctor. And it doesn't make sense. Even you say this is dumb. How can you choose plumbers to choose who's the best doctor? And the doctors themselves must choose who's the best doctor. Mm. So when it comes to dini matters also, you can't have the awam voting for who must be the Khalifa, who must take charge of our affairs. And you have to choose, let the ulama choose. Because the ulama will know who is most suitable for the position of Khilafat. And so they will choose. And who are they going to choose? Not the person who has the most money, or he has the most shares in a company, or he is a multi-billionaire. Okay, let us choose him. Or let us choose somebody who has the degree and that doctorate and that PhD. No. And to see now, who is most muttaqi? And who is most muttaqi? Because the person who is most muttaqi, because he fears Allah Ta'ala, so he will do what is right. He will do what is correct. He will not oppress us. He will not take our rights away. And because we are always fighting for our rights. We want our rights and human rights and this right and that right. And but the people who we put there to in charge of us, they are all wrong. They have no rights in them. And they don't even know what is the rights of a human being. They don't even know what is the rights of their own rights. They don't know the rights of neighbors. They don't know the rights of family. They don't know any rights, but you want to appoint them. And so when you appoint, then you have to choose the people, the most pious people, they will choose who must be the leader. So Allah Ta'ala says that it's not about majority, it's about minority. The minority is always on the haq, but the majority will always be astray. Yeah? Let's look at another ayat. وَمَا ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ And what will be the position of يَفْتَرُونَ, those people who make up lies, they invent falsehood against Allah. And what will be their position? And إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ Again, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala is bountiful on the people. And وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ But most of them, they do not make shukr, they are not grateful. So, on the day of Qiyamah, most of the people will be in problems. Only a few people, the Sulaha and the Shuhada, and even not all the Shuhada also, because there will be some people who will come on the day of Qiyamah and they will say, Ya Allah, I did this for Islam, and I did that for Islam, and I died for Islam. And Allah Ta'ala will say, no, but you didn't do it for Islam, you didn't do it for me, your intention was this and that. So you're not going to attain this position today. So, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will judge who are the righteous and who are those who deserve the fire of Jahannam. And so following the majority will not earn us our Jannah. And so yesterday I was speaking about something that we have to have a goal in life. Everybody has to have a goal in life. And even if you look at in business terms, that a person has a business, he has a goal. Now, I want to achieve, this is my target. I must. I want to achieve this turnover at the end of the financial year. Or I want to achieve this target. I want to, if it's in production, I want to produce so many garments or so many of this item that I am producing here. So you have to have a goal. You have to set a target. Now, Allah Ta'ala has set our target already. And we don't have to choose it. What's our target? Jannah. Our target is Jannah. That is our goal. Now, how do we achieve it? And there's only one way to achieve it. And that is on Sirat al-Mustaqim. And that road of Sirat al-Mustaqim is a very narrow road. So we have to tread very carefully on this road. And if you're going to choose the other road, and the Sirat al-Mudilleen, the road of those people who are astray, then you're not going to achieve the goal. And if you're going to Durban, you can't take the N2, you have to take the N3. Because if you take the N2, you're not going to get there. You're going to go to Cape Town. So you're going to have to take the right road. And that road is one road, one long stretch of road. Or maybe it winds and everybody get there. It will get you there, right into the heart of the place where you're going. So if we want to go to Jannah, it is one road. We have to be, people say, oh, you're very narrow-minded. Actually, that is the right way. Be narrow-minded, that my mind is narrowed down on my goal of Jannah. And my goal of Jannah doesn't allow me to do this. Doesn't allow me to eat prawns. It doesn't allow me to do this. It doesn't allow me to do that. So my road is very narrow. And I like this road. Because my road is going to achieve. If I stay and stick on this road here, then it's going to, I'm going to achieve my goal. And my goal is Jannah. So setting our targets, now you see our targets are not set properly. And we didn't set our scope properly. Our scopes are aiming somewhere else. It's off target. We have to get our targets set correctly and properly. Then aim to Jannah. So when our motives are wrong, we're doing business. We just want to make money. We don't care how we make the money. We just have to make the money. And somebody's asking it, so what if a person earns money, he does all gabgal things, and he is stealing and robbing people, and he gambles and everything. And then he decides one day he's making tawbah, and then now he's going to, he starts a halal business now. He starts one proper halal business, and he's doing proper. Yeah, but where did all that money come from? All that money came, all haram money. Now he wants to open a halal establishment and say, no, you know, everything is above board, everything. But his foundation, where did he get that money from? All in haram ways. So all that money is haram. He has to give it away. He has to now start earning halal money. If he wants to put halal food in his stomach, he has to now earn halal money. You can't use haram money now. And now he wants to say, no, I'm giving 2 million to this masjid here or that. You're giving haram money. So you have to, we have to set our goals. And other thing is that we mustn't follow the minority who is on haq. In that way, we will achieve our goal, and our goal is Jannah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab, for that message and lessons from this year. Inshallah, we'll meet you next week. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.